Hi, everyone out there. I wanted to do a chapter three and maybe talk about a few things. So I don't know if I mentioned in any of the first two audio vlogs, but I think I'm going to do or work on a schedule of maybe kind of doing one of these three times a week, maybe on like Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. Typically, I'll do these at night, so they probably won't be up until late at night on Thursday or first thing, when let's say Wednesday morning, Friday morning, and Sunday morning. Any case, I just wanted to kind of give you an idea. So one of the last things that I talked about was kind of what I titled the video was, is finding a feeling or find a feeling. And I did that for, I guess the main reason was because I talked about music and movies and kind of getting centered. And I think that that's a really important thing because, and it's certainly hard, right? Especially for someone who maybe doesn't have a hobby or for some reason thinks their hobby isn't cool. And to that, I'd say, you know, who really cares? If it's something that you like doing, then you like doing it. As long, of course, as it's legal and moral. And clearly you don't want to be doing something that's not legal and not moral. So, but a hobby, nonetheless, that makes you feel good. Whether it be you feeling good about yourself or not. And for me, it took a really long time to know that me making myself feel good was worthy. Because at least when I grew up, you know, of course we didn't have reality TV and things like that. And I think that's one of the things that makes it a lot more difficult today is really feeling comfortable at something that you do or you like without thinking that it's cool. And because that doesn't matter. Like I said in the other videos, it doesn't really matter what other people think. I mean, of course, unless you're doing a bad thing. But here we're talking about trying to find something that makes you feel good, something that makes you feel worthy with yourself, or something that makes you feel happy. Or maybe it's just one thing that makes you escape. And drugs and drinking and things like that aren't an answer. If some of you do that, then you know, it's not a permanent means to an end. That's what I'm trying to say, because it's not right. Because by doing something like that, you in return, of course, are acting negative on your body. And secondly, it's you're not facing what the problems are. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who certainly drink socially to relax, or there are people who, you know, if you live in a state where marijuana is legal, then, you know, for some people that works for anxiety and it helps to people relax. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, for people who are really down and out, trying to find just an escape of life is not a positive answer. And I can speak from experience, because when I started high school, I started a really rough year because I had been seeing a girl who was a year older than me, so she was already in high school. Well, we ended up breaking up over the summer, so when I started my ninth grade year and she was starting her 10th, she already had a good group of people that she hung out with. And what sucked is that she decided to take this as an opportunity to, I don't know, embarrass me. And that's, you know, it's really difficult, especially, you know, being an adolescent and, you know, dealing with a very hard breakup. And then, you know, having that same person who you broke up with turn around and make fun of you and say comments, and their friends laugh and say comments too about you walking through the hall when, you didn't really do anything. So it was hard. And I got to the point where I would do drugs every morning before school so that while I was there, I was kind of numb and I didn't have to deal with anything. And if I heard things, then, you know, I was kind of out of it and it didn't bother me. And of course, I knew why I was doing it. And that was the purpose of doing it. But it still wasn't, you know, that's not healthy, right? It made me do terrible in school. It made me really become antisocial and even more than I already was. And it didn't work out. And what's funny is that I ended up running into her many years later, and she had apologized for the things she'd done, and I didn't even bring it up, but she did. And it made me realize that it made me think that all of the painful things that I put myself through because of what she did and said, you know, in high school, it hadn't really affected me through the rest of my life once I left high school and or graduated. And oddly enough, seeing her years later, she ended up apologizing for it. And one of the reasons that I bring this up is because you never know what's going to happen in your life. Because let's hypothetically say, and this was at one point of the times where I had considered taking my own life, and let's say that I had, then I wouldn't have had the opportunity to grow as a person, and I wouldn't have had the opportunity to actually meet this person later in life and have her sincerely apologize. I could have taken my own life in that moment and, you know, just ended my life with the feeling that I had and the feelings that I felt, that in the end, in the grand scheme of life, didn't really mean anything. Again, because of how things turned out. Now, don't get me wrong. This would apply to anybody, even in the event that you don't, many years later, meet a person that did bully you and them not apologize. The key thing in this particular situation and scenario or example is that what I was going through and what you're going through right now in the grand scheme of life doesn't matter. And again, I know that that's very hard to understand, and I know that that's very difficult. And it's I'm not, you know, an ignorant person who's thinking that, you know, only people go through one or two bad years of their life and all things are better. It's not. Because my turmoil went on for many, many, many more years than two. And I think that's one of the reasons that's why it's kind of compelled me to, throughout my life, want to be able to go and talk to people and even do this now, because life is so big. I mean, it's the amount of minutes that are in a day and the amount of minutes that you live throughout a life. What happened 10 minutes ago may or may not directly affect you now. And what happened this year, 6 months ago, you probably don't remember. What happened last year, the year before, and things like that. Time, sadly enough to be cliche, time heals all wounds. And of course, it doesn't heal all wounds, because some wounds really, really don't heal, but they're not as difficult as they were. I've had throughout my life several friends who I've lost, whether it be through sickness or suicide or accidents. And when those things like that, you know, family, I've had family members pass away, and things like that obviously don't just heal over time. They get easier to understand or to handle on a day-to-day basis, but I remember I had a very, very close good friend of mine, and I mean close. We spent almost every day together, and I was in my late 20s when I met him, and we were friends up until my mid-30s. And we'd still be friends today, but he did take his own life. And I remember we had just gotten back. Him and I would go and take a vacation several different months out of the year, and not for several months, but it's beside the point. Anyway, we got to go and just spend time together. He had his family and his wife, and I had my girlfriend and our relationships and what have you. And we would go, and we generally go to the same place out of town and just hang out. And we were really close. And I remember one day we were at Starbucks having coffee, and he had told me that he had been contemplating, or at some point in time had contemplated suicide. And I said, you can't do that. You can't, do that to me. You can't do that to your family. You can't do that to your kids. You can't, that's not, if it ever gets to the point where you're feeling like that again, you got to let me know. Unfortunately he didn't, but I remember we had just gotten back from going out of town and hanging out, and it had probably been a week or so since we had talked, because of my work schedule and his. But when we were out of town, he didn't know that I could do it a particular voice, and he died laughing. And for the rest of the trip, he pretty much wanted me to talk like that whenever I could. So because it had been a while since, or about a week or so since him and I had talked since we got back, I left him a voicemail in that voice. And I thought it was funny. And then about, I don't know, that was probably at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and around probably 6 o'clock, my phone rang, and it was his number. So I picked it up and, just said, what's going on? And it ended up being his wife. And she was somewhat hysterical, and she was telling me what had happened. And I lost it. I just completely lost it emotionally, because not only was he like a brother to me, he was a guy that I loved. And it was, and we had just come back from, hanging out on our trip, and everything was fine. And I kind of felt guilty not talking to him within that week span. And it just happened to be work. I mean, certain things in life come up on a day-to-day basis, and we tend to forget about those in our lives. And I'll get to that part in a minute. But I just, it killed me. It really killed me. And I had a really hard time really just knowing what to do. I mean, I'd had other friends in my life that had taken their life, but this one really hit me because he was so close to me, and it felt horrible. And I got, of course you feel depressed and you get mad and things like that. And but you never really know what that person's going through. And so my part of this, and me bringing it up, is that was a horrible day for me. That was a horrible week for me. It was a horrible month. But day to day, it got easier to not be depressed or angry or frustrated. And so, yes, life really throws you curveballs, whether it be a person that's inflicting that curveball to you, or throwing it at you, something being making you depressed, or something making you angry, such as, again, a friend or a family member or somebody doing something drastic. It does get easier, but those are the type of wounds that don't heal, but they do tend to get a little bit easier and better, because I won't lie, there were times where I had considered taking my life because I was so depressed that something like that had happened. It was a feeling that I didn't really know how to take, because there wasn't anybody else I could really talk to. Him and I were very close, and while he had friends, they weren't as close as I was, and while I had friends, they weren't as close as he was. And don't get me wrong, it was hard. It was a feeling I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't express that to anybody. My my friends didn't, I mean, they understood and they were sympathetic, but they didn't really know. And I say this because that applies to all the feelings that you're going through or have gone through, because being picked on or being too tall or too skinny or too short or too fat, or, you know, nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody knows what those feelings are. And it almost just feels like there's no outlet but you, and you're on this lonely island. And the only thing that you can do is make you have this pain go away. And that can be drinking and drugs or suicide and depression and things like that. And it's so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate because, again, how life turns out. I mean, I think part of my drive is not only from what I've been able to overcome in my life, but these are things that I wish that I could have told to my friend. And even though he was older than me, his life was different than mine, and his experiences in life were different, gravely different than mine. And if I could have had the opportunity to express my feelings about life and his life and how things do move on and how things do get better no matter how grim they seem they are right now, maybe they could have helped him. But I didn't take that time, and I didn't feel comfortable if he would even want to listen. And so for me doing this, hopefully to someone that can, you know, this can be something that relates to you and can make you hopefully feel some sort of comfort. Or even if you know someone who's going through this and you don't really know what they're going through, hopefully through all these audio vlogs, I can kind of portray that so it makes it easier for you to be able to talk to them. Or maybe if you are depressed and you want to talk to people but you don't know how, maybe this is something that can help you. I can't tell you how to talk to someone, but all I can tell you is that all you need to do is start. Because you got to start somewhere. Trying to script out what you want to say doesn't, you know, for some people that works out great, for some people it doesn't. And that's not the point. I mean, if it does help you, then certainly go on and do that. If it makes it easier for you to be able to write down your feelings, if you're not doing that already, you know, write down notes or paraphrase and then take that as part of part of the conversation that you want to have. But starting to talk is a really big thing. Humans are interesting because there are people who like to talk, which oddly enough isn't me. And there are people who love to talk. And each type of person has a different has a different idea of talking. All right, people who don't like to talk typically don't think that they are worthy of being listened to, or their conversation or the conversations and the things that interest them might not interest the other person. So they figure, what's the point of embarrassment and what's the point in talking? And then there are other people who love to talk who are completely oblivious to what other people are thinking as they're talking. There's a comedian, Brian Regan, who to me I think is absolutely hysterical. He's a clean comedian, but he's able to take just things in life and add light and humor to them. So Brian Regan, in one of his stand-ups, I can't remember which, I think it's actually I Walked on the Moon. That's the title of it. He has something that he refers to as the me monster. And even though he's a comedian, of course, he's, you know, stands up and talks and in front of thousands of people, he's actually not the type of person that takes over a conversation in a room. But he talks about how the me monsters just love to talk and spew out all the information about themselves, regardless of what the other people in the room are talking about or have talked about, or even if they have an interest. They're just a me monster who talks all about me. And I think that's interesting, right? Especially coming from someone who has a living of talking in front of people. And while my opinion is, this is how, that's his feelings in real life, right? I don't think he doesn't come across as the type of person who, likes to be the center of attention, although he is a comedian. He does seem like the type of person who would be quiet in a room and listen to all the other people talk about themselves. I could be completely wrong, but my point is that there are two different types of people. And I think most people who are going through depression or contemplating suicide and things like that generally are introverts and don't feel like talking. And that could very well just be my own personal experience. But from what I've witnessed in life, that tends to be, fairly true. And by no means am I saying people who are extroverts and people who like to talk also aren't depressed or suicidal or things like that. But obviously you're the type of person who can talk to other people, whereas people who are depressed or people who are introverts or people who are like me don't think that other people care about what they have to say. And I think talking is a really big thing when it comes to depression and suicide and things like that. And it doesn't even have to be talking to someone. There's a difference between having a conversation with yourself inside your head versus having a conversation with yourself out loud, because thoughts are different. It's like, have you ever read a book or read your homework or what have you, but read something and you read inside your head? Right, you can. Every word that you read is perfect inside your head. There are no mistakes, or if there are, there are a few. But if you then take your work or that book or that paragraph and read it out loud, you interpret it possibly in a different way. There are mistakes that you make because you're having to do two things at once, basically, read as well as speak out loud. And I think talking to yourself is a good thing too. I think getting it out there is a good thing too, because it's even if you're not able to speak to someone, the point is getting it out there. So whether you can or can't talk to someone, if you are talking to yourself, have a conversation out loud. Now, of course, I'm not talking about screaming or anything like that. Just have a normal conversation at a normal conversation level. And of course, if you're worried that your parents or your other siblings might hear you, then, talk at a low whisper or just whisper. But there's something different about speaking out loud than just talking to yourself internally. And if you don't believe me, just try it. The only example, like I said, that I can think of right now is reading a book inside your head versus reading it out loud. Two different things are happening, even though it's the same information. And it might make you feel better, There's something negative about bottling feelings up inside, which is something that I've done the majority of my life. And I still do it today, and it's because of how I've taught myself to handle things, I think. But I've learned to do different things that make me happy. And so talking to me is a really big thing. That's why I said in one of my other videos, writing is another big thing. Life changes a lot. And I think having an idea of your emotions and you being in check with your emotions is important. There are people who have no idea what their emotions are or what they feel. Part of that leads to internal depression, because you don't know what you're feeling and how you're supposed to express it. So I think finding something that you can relate to on an emotional level or a feeling is important. That's one of the things, like I said, I talked about in the other video, is finding a feeling. Music for me does that. Movies to me do that. And the reason I bring this up is because talking, whether to yourself or out loud, or to another person, I should say, gives you a sense of release. And it also gets you in check with what you're feeling. You might not know what it is that you're feeling, but you'll have a sensation of a feeling, right? Hopefully it's a good one. And being in touch with your emotions or your feelings on some level is very important. Because if you know your feelings, or if you know, maybe you don't know or understand them, but you're aware of them, finding a way to have those feelings escape is important. Because otherwise, having them bottled up and not understanding them can turn into rage and anger and depression and an irrational thinking. So I think talking, even to yourself, is a magnificent thing. Listening to music, if that gives you a feeling that you've never had, then that bonds with the feeling that you have in yourself. Same thing with watching a movie or watching sports or something. For me, like I said before, it's been about music and movies. And because of the feelings that I've experienced in those times, like in chapter two, I talked about the first time I went to a movie by myself and seeing that movie and the feelings that I had. And I didn't know that those feelings existed. And that gave me something. That gave me power in myself throughout my life. And that's why I think that it's important to find a feeling. Now, everybody experiences feelings different, just like everybody has different things that they can and can't do. Like, there are some people who can play music because they feel it and they can hear it. And then there are some people who just can't. My dad had no musical bone in his body, and it was interesting because we couldn't really relate to at least on that particular level. But it was but he was great at what he did, and he couldn't. The reason I bring this up is that he wasn't somebody that I felt that I could talk to, because we were on different wavelengths. And while, yes, he would tell me lovely things and try to help me feel better about myself, I would never get a feeling from it like I would with music or movies or things like that. So I know that that can be hard, especially if you're a person who doesn't have time for movies or TV. And by no means am I saying, you know, turn your life to movies and TV. It's all about finding a feeling, finding something in life, or many things in life for that matter, that can give you some sort of emotion that you're in check with, because emotions are emotions and they're important. And if you don't understand them or you're not aware of them, that can make your depression or your suicide or your negative thoughts even bigger. Regardless of being male or female, it's or any religion, it's right now, it's all about finding you and centering in on you. And to me, that's very important. I think everyone should have a passion of something. Now, you're not going to go out to, if you don't have a passion, you're not going to go out tomorrow and find it. You may. But it's okay if you don't, because at some point in your life, you will. And the first time you have that feeling, it will change your life. And I hope that everyone can have that. For some people, it might be reading a book. For some people who aren't imaginative, or they aren't creative, maybe math is something that makes you feel good. To some people, math makes perfect sense, and it makes up life, because it's a number, and a number equals this, or this and this equals this. It's not like history that can be changed, and it's not like language that's got all these variations. Math is math. just as an example. But my point is that finding something that really can help you hone in on an emotion. And when I refer to an emotion, yes, anger is an emotion. Yes, depression is emotion. What we are looking for is a feeling of relief, a feeling of happiness. And it can be very hard to find, but that's okay. In no way should that make you upset or angry or depressed, because it will happen. I 100% promise that will happen. But it's just getting there. So we're already at 30 minutes, and I know that this is long, but the point of this is kind of rolling off what I had in the second video or chapter two, is that finding a feeling is important, and understanding your emotions is important, because they all go together. Because in the end, right, it's an emotion that's making you depressed or to think suicidal thoughts. And if you can find a way to understand your thoughts and your body, then you can redirect that into something better. And for a lot of people, that is a day-to-day thing. Like I said before, I've been through middle school and high school and college and been bullied and picked on and, you know, didn't want to go. And I even took alternate routes to my classes. There were times where I'll just talk about this at another time, but there were times in middle school for almost an entire year, I always went to my classes by going outside and around the buildings, just so I would never have to pass people in the hallway or to pass the people that were bullying me. And that was hard and difficult. But I found a way to circumvent that problem. While some people might look at that as I was running away and I wasn't confronting my emotions, I did, and I'll definitely go into that in another video. But I know it's hard, and I just want and hope that all of you realize how precious life is, and that finding your emotions and understanding, or at least finding a feeling, then that's all I can hope for. Because that's something that will change your life. So I appreciate you listening. If you've listened to all these now, 32 minutes, almost 33 minutes, but life is great. And it's so much bigger than the moment you're in right now. And it will be so much better. So, thank you for listening. I'll put out another audio soon, and I hope you're here to listen. Thanks. Bye.